Hello everyone, how are you doing? And how is your life on planet Earth doing right now when there are so many strange things happening, when we're living in a post-COVID world that isn't really post-COVID because I myself am just getting over having the COVID experience for the last 2 weeks. And there are people who have it longer than I, but either as I'm just getting over it, I'm finding a way to create this podcast here and to let you know exactly what I'm doing in other venues, other things I'm doing beside this podcast. What I'm going to do is allow you to hear a recording of a reading I did from a book that I wrote called On Being Love's Warrior, Becoming the Compassionate Warrior Within. And you can actually find free broadcasts of this book, and you can listen to the lessons and do a sort of spiritual life coaching on your own. So please sit back and enjoy this lesson.
Reflection study number 13. This has been a difficult one to record due to difficulties on the computer and strange things happening, but we have it for you here. We hope that you're enjoying the other lessons and hoping that you're finding that as a result of reading these and doing the exercises, you're getting stronger and more proficient at life. And so we start off with study number 13, Colonization of a Culture. Introduction. Greetings, fellow teachers and warriors of compassion. It is said that the number 13 is bad luck in some cultures. Actually, the number 13 used to be a sacred number, usually a group of up to 12 people and one leader are said to be the most efficient size and the most easily managed. Is there any wonder that Jesus was said to have had 12 disciples? By coincidence, most of the covenants were said to have 13 people also. It wasn't until the takeover of religion by a select few much later that 13 became an unlucky number. That takeover or colonization of a culture, just like the colonization of a country, takes place with the encounter of a people first, next force entry, and then demonizing the central teachings, followed by co-opting all of the good parts in that society. One of the most important things to demonize in this case is the religion of a people. Religion is the vessel which contains the essence of a people. It contains their shared stories, stories of the ancestors, their views of life, their histories, their hopes for the future, and their way of understanding how the world works. The unscrupulous need only study a religion to find the vulnerabilities of a people and then demonize various parts of the religion in order to separate the group from their ancestors and their own identities, in order to take the religious figures and implant them into another religion, changing the names, one that is ruled by the culture of the oppressors. This destroys the culture of the people. When we look at history and any one nation or culture taking over another, we ultimately find that the religions of the victims' cultures are squelched and replaced by the dominator's religion. This is not always the case, of course. The Romans forced others to take on their state religion, but they also allowed people to hold on to their own belief system and ways of being. It is only with modern religions, since 325 BCE, that competing religions are wiped out. Gods and goddesses were co-opted then, or equated with the devil. This idea, I mean, all of the oppressors, saviors all over the world, and all of our ancestors who were freedom fighters, deluded fools, who had connived with Satan, and who will cause us to go to hell. That, my friends, is an ugly scenario. That is also the reason why the number 13 became a bad luck number. It has always been good luck, in order to demonize the religions that saw it as such. The lie that it was evil was implanted into our society, and we, not knowing where the thought came from, picked it up and passed it on. The same is true about many other similar lies. If we are going to begin to heal ourselves, each other, and our society, it's necessary that we begin to learn the truth, especially about history, the history of oppression. This history can often be found in every textbook. It can be learned through a form called null learning. In null learning, one learns not by what is written on the page, but by looking at the gaps. One learns by noting what is not being mentioned. One learns by questioning whether a group of people who has been wiped out by the winners in the past could have possibly been just plain so evil that they tried to murder and kill the nice, kind invaders. The winners in most cases, for no reason whatsoever. One questions the fact that people who claim to be loving and kind are consistently the ones who are attacking and killing people who are supposed to be evil. In this scenario, who is the one who is really evil? The most important way that one learns by the null method is by realizing that a person often projects his or her shadow side onto an enemy. The way that a person or a group, especially unrepentant oppressors, often describe the target of his or her oppression is often a pure description of what the oppressors look like under all the fine clothing and protective mannerism. To heal the body, healing of the mind is necessary. What heals the mind? The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One finds the truth everywhere. One finds it in every tree and in every flower. One finds the truth by looking at other people's lives and finding the gaps between what they are doing and what they think they are doing. One finds the truth by finding the gaps in one's own behaviors in comparison to what one claims to believe. This, however, takes time, thought, and much meditation. It takes time to be willing to be quiet in this task-oriented, harried world, which can be very difficult in itself. It takes the courage to look deeply into the mirror in order to find the beauty and the ugly parts of the self. One then works to claim all parts of the self, like the various ingredients of a gourmet meal. A little of this, a lot of that makes a fine meal. The wrong proportions, however, make a pile of garbage. It is therefore necessary to reclaim the parts of the self in the right proportions. This is a lifetime activity. The activity begins by learning to observe others. It begins by noticing other people who drive you crazy. It then means getting to know these people more intimately and getting to understand them more fully. These people are most likely similar to the shadow part of yourself, the part that you were not interested in developing and that you pushed down several years ago. Through getting to know them, one gets to know the self. Through embracing them, one begins to embrace the self. The rest can be done through meditative techniques. This popular learning about the subconscious in the West that we have learned for a long time ago is limited. In the West, many cases. We learn that the subconscious is stupid. It is the id, an angry animal that must always be controlled by the ego. The idea, of course, came from one of the most patriarchal societies in the world during one of the most advanced times of sexism, sexual repression, and racism in the world. Why should we believe and canonize ideas like this that come from such people? Sometimes it is more important to look at the society from which the knowledge is derived than at the knowledge itself. That way one can at least strip away the foolishness and find the nugget of gold that resides within the teaching without the dross. If we begin to look at their ideas about nature and the world, the ideas at that time period, we can see that the idea of the id is parallel to their idea about nature and outsiders. It is a projection of the fear of dealing with nature and the need to conquer nature. If, however, we look at the id in a way that the indigenous people dealt with nature, we will see the id and all of those impulses not as something that must be banished and controlled, but as something that provides and nurtures us if we learn to live in harmony with it. Think on this possibility for a moment. The id is not unintelligent, according to most hypnotherapists. The id is too sophisticated for the ego. It understands and projects symbols. It picks up thoughts and ideas from a short, concise sentence. It picks up information from sounds, smells, touches, feelings, and maybe even thoughts from others that the ego cannot even comprehend. Become friends with your id. Ask it what is troubling you. Ask it what is necessary. Ask it what you should reclaim when you are in a placid state, like one induced by meditation. The answer will then come bubbling up from the subconscious, like a spring leading to everlasting life. Thank you for being with us for this study. Section 2 and 3 will be put up in a couple of weeks. Please listen to this again if you need to and contemplate it, or you can buy a copy of the book at iUniverse.com, title on Being Love's Warrior, A Warrior's Manual on Becoming the Compassionate Warrior Within by Ken DeRonan. The unique thing about these lessons is that my pen name is Ken DeRonan. I am the writer of the book, so you won't learn more about it from anywhere else. Thanks again. To find out some of the other things we're doing, like podcasts and life coaching and all of that, just visit us at www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. It's www.nextstepcoaching.mysite.com. It's always good to be with you. Namaste.
And there you have it, folks. A teaching, from one of our Warrior of Compassion classes, and actually from a book that we have written a long time ago. The amazing thing is that that old book has so much knowledge and wisdom, and it was written all the way back in the year 2000. Like many things, it was way ahead of its time, and people are just starting to catch up with the philosophy written in it. But they still haven't quite caught up, because there are a lot of insights in there that people are even missing today. And so it's our pleasure to do these radio programs to help everyone be able to live life on planet Earth right now. Part of living life on planet Earth right now consists of getting rid of the lies, getting rid of the baggage, getting rid of the negative messages that are implanted within us so that we can live lives of joy and peace, no matter how frightening our circumstances. Life can be good. All that it takes for our lives to be good is to learn to live those lives, to learn what we truly want, what we desire, to begin to tell the difference between necessities and desires, and to actually begin to realize that we are loving, kind, beautiful people who have worth and dignity, even if we haven't measured up to what our neighbors said we should be, our teachers, our ministers, our parents, anybody. We were born as worthy and beautiful people, and as long as we walk in love and peace and truth, that is who and what we will continue to be. And so we end our podcast for today. I ask that you would subscribe, that you would share these podcasts if you like them. Pass them around. And perhaps we can expand the podcast and expand all the other things that we're doing so that other people can learn about these things and find the real type of freedom that we need in this world. People scream about freedom, but they never talk about the two things that are connected: freedom and responsibility. Without freedom, responsibility is tyranny, it's slavery. Without responsibility, freedom is being a tyrant, it's criminality. Only the two work together in order to bring us what we need. And fearfully and unfortunately, what freedom is the ability to receive the consequences for one's own actions. And that is really why we need to be responsible. Have a great week, and we'll be back with another podcast soon.